Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 113 of the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm here with my co-host, Jay Cranda. Jay, how are you, man?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm excited about today's show. And Kenny's already smiling here on the call here.
Yeah, so we have Kenny Jang with us from Liquid Church. He is the pastor and innovation and media pastor. What's up, Kenny?
Hey, how are you doing? Good to be with you guys.
All right. So this is take two on this episode. We did it once before while Kenny was driving, and then Zoom technology, which I love, failed me for the first time ever, and we lost the conversation. But we're going to relive a conversation in an even better way. And so I'm going to play referee here because Kenny and Jay have a long, ongoing internet battle happening about theology and online church, and you guys are both very well educated, seminary educated, and really have some great thoughts about church and online church and what is online church. Kenny, if you will get the conversation started and just share your theology or even what you think, what is church and what does it mean to be an online church?
Yeah, we are a Bible-based church here in Jersey, and so we really take the Bible seriously and what it says in terms of gathering for worship services. And so this is what actually started the conversation with myself and the other gentleman on the other side of the table. We really think that church shouldn't be done alone, shouldn't be done in a vacuum, and that when you are assembling for worship services, and we're talking specifically of worship services online, that at least from our perspective, we make sure that there's trained volunteers or ministry staff in the chat room in a way that we can engage and interact with anybody who's coming and attending, whether it's a first-time guest or a long-time attendee. We want to make sure that there's community, right? The Bible says, Jesus says, when there were two, right? When two are gathered in his name. And so, as I like to say, we are not the church of Netflix, even though culture would want us to go that way. On-demand teaching, video replays, great. There's the definite place for that. But for worship services, I think we want to keep the integrity of the situation and make sure that we have community there. And so that's the crux. I guess that's a good setup for today and showing how we do it. So we limit the number of worship services we have, although technology can let us scale infinitely, right? 168 hours a week. We can have 160 services, worship services a week. We're not there yet. We're planning to address the desire and the need for on-demand replay. But for worship services, we think we want to keep that intact.
Yeah. Well, and Jay, I'm curious to get your perspective. Yeah. And I'm going to just go ahead and jump in as you talk about this and share from Community Bible Church perspective. As we go online, we see online as a location. And so we see online as a location just as we would, you know, a different campus, a physical location. And so people gather, they do community, there's Bible study, there's evangelism, there's worship, there's fellowship. And so how do we do that on the internet as a location? And I think what becomes interesting is how do you define time online? So time online is sometimes perceived differently in that the way that we interact, because we can always be online even while we're face-to-face. So it does become gray in some areas, and that's where I think this debate comes in. And no, Kenny, you might not see it as gray. You seem to have very clear, defined lines in yours. But as we get gray, let's go to Jay. And Jay, if you could share what your perspective is, how you got into online church and what your kind of theology and principles are around it.
Well, I think the conversation is really good because, I mean, most, even theological battles within the church is around language, and language is important. It does define us. As much as people want to say it's not important, it is important. It gives us boxes of how we can have certain conversations. And so we need to have understanding of what's priority and how do we use, for instance, a worship service, because culturally, historically, we understand that by gathering in a building with other people, and online church is redefining that. And I do think there needs to be a redefinition, a re-understanding of that with the context of online. But with us, the way we leverage it is we have a vision of we want people to go from online to offline by hosting a group in the area. So my really direction with the online campus at Saddleback is to get people watching from anywhere And again, to steal something from Craig Rochelle, do anything short of sin to start a conversation and really a relationship with Jesus, hopefully with outreach purposes, and then encourage them to gather one or two people in their home and watch together. And where like the conflict arises is that I just saw the idea of live being limiting, is that we only can offer so many services a week via live or even rebroadcast. And really with online culture and tendencies and habits, people want to start things when they want to start it. And so, and then on top of that, we kind of were doing, we were doing surveys with our community and learning habits, even as we launched our Roku channel, that more and more of our people were watching with a spouse, a friend, with somebody else. And it was around the 40% mark. And I thought that trend, as we saw that going higher and higher, I thought more and more people were going to go to a TV connected device or hook up their computer. And if you're now in the understanding that the average viewer right now is trending more towards to be in a community, and I believe that's going to trend even more. That number is going to progressively get higher and higher. And the context isn't one person on a computer and that's the experience. Now it's full screen. Now it's TV connected in the living room. I now become more and more comfortable with the idea that that can be church because they're with one other person. And that's where the conversation between Kenny and I actually wrote a blog post about this, about how we were shifting from rebroadcast and simulated live to an on-demand option. So now no longer do we offer a live, simulated live and on-demand. We literally only offer our 6 live services and our on-demand. And my hope is with the on-demand is we can offer an experience 24/7 anytime somebody logs on, and that they're watching with somebody else, and that that becomes a funnel that people can get connected into community continually, since we have all the automation already. And then on the back end, we have the personal care follow-up, and then we have the intention with getting them into community by hosting a group. I start feeling okay with using the word worship service for on-demand, because I'm like, that's what it is. Plus, our website is, there's always multiple people on at one time. So there's always something happening. And so I think there might need to be clarification on the way we use worship service, but I'm okay with that because that becomes church if they're watching with somebody else.
I think just to jump in here you're really pushing people towards physical community. And I think almost everyone would agree that spiritual community done in physical face-to-face interactions is probably going to be most effective the majority of the time. But I would say that that's not online church. That's a media distribution platform in which you're connecting people around that content. But you also know that you're connecting with people that are just meeting online. And I think that's where a lot of the debate comes in. Is it still church if it's online? And I would all argue absolutely, because of the relationships that I've built online. You know, I know both of you guys online before we met face to face. And there are many people I'll never meet face to face, but I feel like I'm in a deep spiritual community with them. I would argue, Kenny, you know, from your point of, I feel like a lot of what you're communicating is that you need to be online at the same time. I see more church happening on our Facebook page, where people aren't online at the same time, than I do on our online church channel, where people are on at the same time. I'm curious your perspective, though, as you're hearing all of this conversation, Kenny, your thoughts. I can see you stirring over there. You're muted, Kenny.
Hey, so one of the things that I'm excited about this conversation is really driving to what you guys are defining. I think the broader perspective of what is church is great, and utilizing online technology, online mediated forums for that, great. What I'm saying is the place for worship services, that what we, the historic church, has called us to gather together and worship him, right? The traditions of the mainline denominational church, of the steeped in the liturgy of the worship service, that, like, the question here is, does that still have a place in the life of a church? I'm seeing what you guys are saying is that, especially at Saddleback, with this move toward removing this emphasis on the simulated live and going to the actual on the replays, is really the saying that, no, worship services, you're diluting the necessity or even the value of that gathered, the gathered element that we call worship services. I think that's a dangerous line to cross. I'm flagging. We're there. Yeah. It's happening right now. And if it's intentional, that's great. But what I'm flagging is I think for many church online pastors out there, or many pastors considering launching a church online platform, we need to have this conversation so that people understand it's intentional.
Is it a necessity though, Kennedy? You just use that term. Yeah. This is a necessity. And you think it's a necessity to be gathered simultaneously.
Yeah, I think in the life of a church, you need to have worship services. There's a reason why you have that. Otherwise, I mean, I'll push back to Jay. It's like, why don't you have DVDs by mail or USB sticks that you mail out, or even just download packets via email so that people could, quote, have church with their friends? I don't know if that really, really matters. Even radio. Is radio then a church service? According to your definition, it is.
I would define that though as like a house church movement. I wouldn't see that as a bad shift to say we're going to distribute this media so you can have a church worship gathering in your home.
Oh, come
which
on!
Is what I think you're saying, Jay.
I call foul. I call foul on you there because it's like saying that hey, every time you download a Taylor Swift, you're having your own private concert.
But the problem is that we are intentional on the back end about bringing type of experience to the area. So if you start a group in your area that we will say, you need to get two people together and you need to start something. And we have a process to say, hey, be a healthy group for this next year. And the intention is in the next 6 months to multiply. And then after you multiply, we're going to start building in training so that you can get together multiple people in multiple groups and potentially move into a launch phase to bring something. I mean, I would say the difference with radio and a download is that they're just selling you something. For us, that doesn't stop. We may have a point of we want you to become a viewer and host something. That might be the next step, but we have a whole process on the back end to get them into community. And I believe, you know, here at Saddleback, we believe the church should do five purposes. And that happens in the context of a church, in a small group, and as individuals. And those things aren't limited to proximity. I think those things can start online and we can spark something around. So I feel more okay. I guess I have no problem. I think it's a worship service if you're in a room with five other people and you're watching a message or a service on demand. Those five people in that room through the video and in the context of their community, that's a worship service. I have no problem. I don't think numbers limit that. And I don't think the way the message is delivered limits that. I think that can be a worship service.
Yeah, I would just say that I think there's this little sense of oversubscription of the language, right? It is loading a little too much meaning into what's actually happening. That it isn't necessarily a worship service, right? It, in the same exact context, this: are we having a rock concert when Jay and I are in a room and boogie on down to Taylor Swift? I don't think that's a rock concert. It's nice. It's a great time to.
But the difference is that the Bible gives us clear pictures, even in Acts, giving the idea of that doing ministry in the temple courts, house to house, the idea of small numbers early on and large numbers of. As well. And so I think what's different about the rock concert is that, there is this picture of what we think it is and it's big. But the problem is with the Bible, the picture is more often small than big of the picture of what church is. And so I think on the flip side, I think that's what church really is. I think even at Saddleback, we would say, churches are, people doing life together. And one of those ways we reinforce that is we get people together weekly and we have that gathering. I will say that just to clarify, I do agree that we want to be careful of making, I have an ideal of what this looks like. Obviously, I don't want to set up somebody for failure in the future. So worship service, I want people gathering. If you're by yourself, I think that's dangerous. My hope is that God's using that to get them connected because we do have an assimilation process to get people engaged. And so I would say most people that I'm talking to that do online outreach is they think they have church, but really they have a stream. And anytime I'm trying to talk to them, I say, if you're going to use that word church, you got to have some kind of community thing that's beyond a chat moderator. Community is much more than just showing up, being part of community is much more than just being engaged. So that's why for us, like, you know, I've talked to you guys about this. I'm actually more of a small groups pastor with an online venue to get people connected. I'm much like, I am an online pastor that might be like on my position plan and so forth. But essentially, I'm a small groups pastor that has an online venue to get people connected. I care more about my small group health than I even care about the program on the weekend, because that's actually less, I control that less. I can control everything around the page to get people connected and some of the intros and outros, but I actually care about the health, because when I think of online church, I don't think about our stream. I think about our groups that meet around the world. That's what I think about. So that's where I become more comfortable personally in my context calling it a worship service, because I think, man, we got 1,000 small groups around the world meeting in homes in a variety of different ways, and they're worshiping God every week. They may worship God on their own time, but they are part of a community. So that's where I become comfortable.
Yeah, part of it is I am excited about it, because this is kind of like almost the fulfillment of the Reformation, right? Like you're saying that we're removing the priestly element of the structures of the church, and you're trying to democratize access of what we call worship in the tradition of our faith. Great. I in a sense, I like that. But I do think that we need to be a little bit respectful or preservationist of the lineage that we've come down through the history of the church. We look at the first century church, right? There are, you can say, I can go along with you, that there are several devotional acts within a worship service that really make up a Bible-based, biblical worship service, right? There's, you look in Acts, communion, right? The supper together, sharing, breaking of bread together. That's why you need more than one person. And my pushback there is, your 1,000 groups are great, but I would say the majority of people, or there's a significant portion that are coming to your church online services as individuals, and you're not offering that community. Second one is prayers. Another one is, I think that singing, right? Worship, as we call it, that's been co-opted, that word, but that the praise and songs that are sung to glorify, exalt God is a piece. Offerings or collections have been taking up, and that's, you know, we're upending that also as we move the church forward decade by decade. And then it's the scriptures, right? It is the privileging of the scriptures, the word of God. Someone needs to be a herald for that as they proclaim what is the truth that is being shared in that service. So I think there's definitely all of those elements that can be accomplished in what you call small groups. But then it does become the question of what is the role of pastorship and what is the role of the actual official entity of the church?
Yeah. This is my last word, and I'll let Niels, you can say something. We'll let Kenny end it. So I totally agree. And I do think, again, I do agree, language is very important. I also believe this isn't an issue online church just deals with. I think the same reality, we can segment it because culturally it's like there's some fears there and people are aware of it, but it's the same thing on a weekend. You know, for us at Saddleback, we have our concentric circles where we say we're reaching the community and the crowd, the congregation, the committed core, and we're trying to move people in. And so there's a lot of people that attend every week that they're part of our crowd, that they think they're part of church, but they're not. They're experiencing a service, but church is much more than just showing up once a week. And so I would say this, the people that show up every week online that watch by themselves, they're part of the crowd. And so they're people that haven't connected, and we provide easy, small next steps. Hey, you need to get into a group. You need to join a group or host a group. And those are our next steps. And so I feel like we're really culturally, there's things that are happening, and there's some dangers there that online the medium kind of creates, but I think we're replicating that. That would be my one thing, but I am up for a clarification on language. I think I definitely don't want to be, I don't want the amendment. I don't want to be the guy who, like, you know, a heretical House of Horrors, Jay Cranda. I don't want to be added on the, you know, the list. So anyways, Neil, some final words, and then we can give Kenny the last shot.
Yeah, and I just want to set you up, Kenny, because I'm really curious. Your thoughts and perspective on the church is phenomenal. I want to know, just practically speaking, as you are the church online pastor there at your church, how do you do the sacraments? How do you do baptism? How do you do communion? How do you do some of those key things that are physical, or at least we perceive them to be physical? Or they are. I mean, they're an outward, you know, demonstration. So if you could speak to that, and then if you could share, what is the ideal direction from your perspective that the church needs to go when it comes to doing church online? What does that look like as you understand technology and you understand, you have a deep understanding of theology? Where does this all need to go?
Yeah, I think everyone in this room here all acknowledges, if someone came up to you and said, hey, has your church figured out church online? You know, are you guys the leaders and you really, this is it? You've evolved it to the point. And I think all of us have, any respectable church online pastor is going to say, no, we haven't figured it out. Church online 5 years from now, 50 years from now is going to be completely different than what it is today. And I think it is this posture that we all share. Well, this is why I love this conversation, right? We're battling to the core, but really it's under friendly circumstances because we love each other as brothers here. And we just it's actually, honestly, the reason why we're battling it out is because we love Jesus and we want to preserve and protect what he offers us. So I would say the future of the church is going to change. I think there's different models. That's another podcast episode that you guys have to talk about. My model for what we're doing here in Jersey is very different from what Jay's doing. It's different than what you are doing, Nils. And the business model of what church online is serving is very different. So it's not binary, right? People think that, hey, do you go to church or you do not go to church? Do you go to church online? Every church online is different. You can't just assume they're all the same. And there's quite, some are for church planting, right? So we've had people in Australia gather together. They got together, they started to gather, and they created their own campus at one point for us. Church planting is a model. Front door to the church, that's what we're using it in New Jersey. And then this organic hope for proliferation of small groups and cells and pods, that's what Jay's going after, right? So there's these different models. So I love the diversity aspect of it. And I think this forum that you guys are participating is great because we got to keep the conversations going.
Well, unfortunately, we are out of time. So I know that we will have some future conversations. And I want to thank everybody for listening to this week's episode on Social Media Church Podcast. Thank you, Kenny, for being part of it. Thank you for not taking any pop shots at me. That was very nice of you. Thank you, Nils, for being with us as well. And so please stay up to date with everything on the podcast by visiting socialmedia.church.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. Stop by socialmedia.church for the show notes and to learn more about Social Media Church. Please share this podcast with a friend and leave a review on iTunes or wherever you may be listening.